far as well.
I saw Lane. He's got to meet briefly this morning. He's got to meet with the training staff and all that and get cleared physically, and then we haven't talked about anything else after that. So.
LeSean McCoy talked last night about, well, he was asked if he was healthy, and he said it doesn't matter, which kind of opened the question of, is he healthy?
He's healthy. No, not that I'm aware of.
So his foot's not bothering him from the New England preseason game, not bothering him at all?
His what?
He hurt his foot in that game, and there was talk that it might be a lingering thing, and he said that it's not going to bother him, but he just doesn't.
No, I mean, he's not on the treatment list. He hasn't gotten any. I mean, he does normal maintenance like everybody else, but he hasn't had any injuries where we've done anything with him. So,
in Lane's case, what does he need to show you this week to plug him in?
Just where he is. You know, we haven't seen him for a month. You know, what is he told me he was at API in Dallas working out, and there were some other players there. So, you know, he looked good, you know. So it's just the unknown. You haven't seen him in 4 weeks. So where is he at? What's his how does he process things? How quickly does he get back into the swing of things? Where is he from a health standpoint? So,
in light of the issues on the O-line, McCoy need to sometimes take a little more of, I mean, be satisfied with 2 or 3 yard gains as opposed to maybe trying to always hit.
Yeah, I think what happens when you have people out at certain positions, other guys maybe try to overcompensate at times, and you know, I think that's kind of a natural feeling for everybody, you know. But I think it's, and I said it yesterday, it's the same thing. We need to do a better job in the passing game. All of it kind of goes hand in hand, you know. And certainly the biggest thing that comes up when you look at our game on Sunday was the turnovers. We get in the, you know, we're in decent shape in the third quarter there, and then all of a sudden we have two and outs where, you know, we get a good gain on first down. We're second and six, and we throw a flat ball out to Zach. We get a fumble. They got the ball back. Next time we throw a quick screen to Riley, he gains 8 yards at second and two, and then we throw a pick down the field. So I just think we're, because of there is, everybody's aware of what's gone on, that I think some people are pressing and trying to make things out of something that isn't there right now and at every position. So I think everybody's just got to kind of settle down, go back to playing football.
Sorry, what did you see on that interception that you just mentioned with Nick? Should he have gotten rid of the ball earlier, or was it just that
he got hit late. You know, I think he was trying to go deep over the top to Mac, and then you know, it's one of those. It's second and two. They look like they were covered. Maybe just tuck it, see if you can get the first down yourself, and then put us in a workable situation. But obviously, we don't want to put the ball up in harm's way in that time.
Sure, so at least for the last 3 weeks, the TV has caught Nick doing this with his left shoulder. The length of his long balls in each one of these games, there's been more than one or two misses where he's had the guy had space and not been hit or not been pressured. Do you not see that? Do you think that there's any?
No, I think it's the exact opposite. If you look at him, he overthrew four balls, so he's throwing the ball too far in some situations. Yeah, that's got nothing to do with his left shoulder. If every ball was underthrown, then I would think that the injury that he was banged up, and I don't think he's trying to overcompensate. I just think he's got to get his timing down. So,
Chip, Sproles had 11 carries in that first game. He's got 4-2-1 the last three. What makes you feel like he can't help as a change of pace runner?
I don't think it's got anything to do with that. We're not running the football at all. I mean, we're not gaining anything running the ball, so it's not like...
averaging like 7 yards on those few carries he's had in those games where Shady's been in the 2.5 range.
What's the difference between the game that he averaged, that he had 11 carries in now? We're banged up front, so it's not the ball carrier. So I think if that's where you're going with it, it's not... I mean, I don't see it as it's the ball carrier right now. We're not generating what we need to do in the run game at all, so it doesn't matter who we're handed to, whether we hand it to LeSean or Chris or Darren or whomever in that situation. That's not what we're seeing. So,
are you seeing the same LeSean McCoy, though? I mean, being able to make the first guy miss, the kind of same level of elusiveness that last year?
Yeah, I see that. I don't think we've been able to spring him. We haven't gotten him to the second level where we're losing some battles at the line of scrimmage. So obviously it's about getting going and getting started, you know. And I think the same thing with the whole offense. It's getting going, getting started, getting one first down. We get one first down and all of a sudden we're on a roll, you know. And I think that's similar. You know, you look at our last drive, we get the first down and all of a sudden we start rolling, you know. Things kind of open up and everybody starts playing. But I think everybody at every position is pressing, and as I said earlier, we just need to settle down and start playing football.
Sure, but it seems like Nick is holding on to the ball a lot longer in the last couple of games. Is that something that you guys see, and how do you get him to get rid of it quicker?
I look at it depending on the plays. I mean, we threw some quick game to start, and we got the ball out quickly. You know, it just depends on what we've got called. You know, so it's kind of a byproduct of the play call, too. So there's sometimes where we're trying to take some shots down the field. I think if people are going to play you close in coverage, you got to go over the top. We did it well in the other games. We just didn't do it well in this game.
What did you see on the defensive holding penalty by Carey? I mean, did it seem like it was within the 5 yards and all that?
You can't hold anywhere. It doesn't matter if you're within 5 yards or not 5 yards. There's an illegal contact in there, but if you're pulling jerseys, there's a difference between the two calls. There's illegal contact where you can't touch the guy over 5 yards, but that doesn't mean within 5 yards you can grab jerseys or anything like that. So,
how much thought was there with maybe Polk on third and fourth down just to try to pound it in there? And have you looked back at that?
It had nothing to do with the back. You know, it had to do with, are we going to get any movement against that front and against Ian and Justin Smith and Ray? We weren't really getting a ton of push at the point of attack. You know, I thought on, as I said yesterday, my thought on second down was, we threw the first one. It almost was exclusively throw on that drive. And on the first down, they dropped everybody into coverage, and we're going to protect the end zone. So I thought maybe we could pop one and got it down to the one. But then I didn't think we were going to be able to pound it in that situation. So it had nothing to do. My thought process wasn't the back. Hey, let's get a bigger back in there, and he can pound it in. It was just, are we going to create some movement against those guys? And just didn't think we could do it. So,
how much was their success on the ground a product of getting that push up front as opposed to just having the ball for so long?
The Niners, 2 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they do. That's their bread and butter. They're built that way. Their offensive line is built to run the football. Obviously, you got a back in Frank that's, you know, is a downhill physical style run guy. So I think that's part of it. And they also do some exotic things in the run game, you know, a little, you know, sometimes it's unbalanced sets, sometimes it's the extra lineman in the game playing six offensive linemen. And then the other factor, whenever you're defending them, it's that quarterback can run the football. And you obviously saw a design quarterback run for him. So it's different than playing another team, you know, that's just a running back oriented operation, because it's going to be, hey, they're going to run power. You don't worry about the quarterback coming out the back end. But against this team, you always have to worry about the quarterback on design quarterback runs and keeps and read plays. So I think that's what makes them such a good running team.
You mentioned that you have Lane coming back, but you talk about the O-line as a group of five guys. Would you consider getting Wade in there at some point, maybe trying to take a look at him?
We're going to look at everything now. You know, we'll sit down as a staff. We watched a game again this morning and just went through our corrections from what we got to do in correcting the mistakes we made up there, but we haven't sat down and said, hey, what are we doing now in terms of what do we got healthy, who's up, who can go, and what we can do. So,
as you mentioned to that, Molk and Tobin was the first starter for their career. What did you see from those two in particular?
I thought, you know, David did a good job, you know, competed. There's a few times that, you know, his lack of size was probably an issue for him, you know, where he got bowled a couple times, but I thought overall for his first time playing, I thought he did a good job. And I thought the same thing with Tobe. Tobe got banged, it looked like, early in the second quarter or the first quarter, you know, was limping a little bit but kind of shook it off and came back. But, you know, I thought for the first time of those guys playing a football game, they held their own.
How do you get your running game going?
Everybody's got to execute. We got to obviously, it's a byproduct of everything. We got to be able to throw the ball quickly. We did it a couple times, got some people off us, spread the field. You know, we got Coop once on a hitch route and got people running sideline to sideline. You know, we got to sustain blocks a little bit better up front, and then we got to hit the hole. And a combination of all those guys.
Sorry. You talked about some players pressing. Do you think Roddy Cooper is prominent among those players?
I think everybody's pressing on the offensive side of the ball, so I put the whole group together.
No, you're not a big time of possession guy, but are you concerned at all about the mileage that's piling up on the defensive side of the ball, whether time on field or plays, and how do you combat that?
No, I'm not. I thought our defense, you know, when I watched them, I don't think they were winded. I thought we've always done a good job with rotating. I think our defensive line rotates. Billy played a lot more dime, started to rotate the linebackers inside a little bit. So right now I don't see that as anything that affected our defense. I thought our defense played really, really well against a very good offensive football team the other day. We had 4 sacks. The biggest thing we got to clean up on the defensive side of the ball, we had 4 penalties on defense that extended drives. You know, 4 penalties on third down that gave them first downs when we would have had them off the field. And that's a byproduct of that. There's your time of possession right there. There's 4 drives that got extended just because self-inflicted wounds on ourselves. We made the mistake and we caused the penalty that allowed them to stay on the field when we should have had them off the field. One time we had a sack. You know, we had a sack. We had cap. cap sack for a fifth sack and had him out of field goal range, but then we got a penalty on the defensive side of the ball, so we need to do a better job of that. So,
on the 55-yard touchdown capturing the core, what's the teaching point, if any, for Marcus Smith and the defense?
When the quarterback scrambles, we talk about plastering your man. You got to find somebody and plaster. You know, and I think you had a young guy in there that just, you know, kind of lost sight of what was going on in the play, and then you got to kind of locate somebody instead of getting your eyes back on the quarterback and seeing where the quarterback's scrambling to. Till he crosses the line of scrimmage, everybody that's in a coverage responsibility has to, and we do it all the time out here. Once the quarterback's in a scramble, you hear our coaches yelling, plaster, plaster, plaster. You got to locate the eligible receivers and match up to them so that's what happens. And then the second thing is that we got to tackle them. You know, we got to get them down. It is a big play, and it started off as a big play, and you know, that's the things you get scared of with Kaepernick, is that he can scramble and keep things alive and then throws across his body to a wide open guy. But it wasn't a touchdown. Now we got to get him down on the ground and then make him really earn it instead of giving him a freebie and getting in the end zone.
Greg Selleck, was he jammed on that crossing route? Was he held up at all? Was it matter?
He was. Yeah, he got jammed on that, but he came through clean and was breaking off over the top of the linebackers, but we got flushed a little bit. Nick didn't get a chance to really set his feet because we had edge pressure coming off from the defensive back on that side. But they, I think, was coming in on him. So, you know, if it was just, like I said, there's not one specific thing. We do a better job, you know, holding up a little bit in protection. Then we got some time to drop it over the linebacker's head, and we're in a great situation at that point in time because we're up. But it's just, you know, we're kind of just one play off here or there, where I think if we can get that straightened out, we're going to be okay.
What kind of explanation do you know? There was a call on Cooper blocking before the ball. It didn't. Was that an illegal play, or it didn't look like it on?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, they just said they thought he was blocking before the ball was caught on the screen pass. So.
Do you have any reason for optimism with getting Kendricks back to practice tomorrow?
I don't know. You know, that's a tricky deal. You know, it depends on how much, because you're constantly on it. You know what he can do. He started doing a little bit of running last week, but we'll see how he progresses. He's, you know, I'll give Michael credit. He's been in getting treatment every day and working as hard as he can to put himself in a situation, a place. But it'll be an ongoing thing that you got to watch this week. Is what's he like on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and kind of see if we can get him fit back into the plans if he can go. But I don't have any expectation one way or another that he's definitely legitimately out this week, or yeah, he's in this week. So it'll really be a big week for him in terms of his rehabilitation and what we can get out of him on a practice field.
I think I know the answer to this, but for the people that question the quarterback, and in baseball you bring in a relief pitcher, has there ever a thought to changing things up for a football coach, for you, to bring in what I would call a relief pitcher when the quarterback seems to be a part of the struggles out there?
No, I mean, I think you're comparing two different sports. You know what I mean? You don't. That's not the way I think our game is played. I think in baseball, you bring in a relief pitcher almost in every single game. You know, I think the Phillies threw a no-hitter with eight guys or four guys or how many guys threw it, right? I mean, that's just the nature of that sport. But I think it's the position of quarterback, obviously, is the one that gets all the focal point when things are struggling on one side of the ball. It's easy to say, well, let's take him out. But I've never been that way. I don't think you can't pin all this on Nick. There's plays that he probably wants that he wants back. There's play calls that I want back. There's blocks up front that guys want back. There's plays on the perimeter that everybody wants back. So I don't think that's an issue, and that never came across my mind during any of these games.
What's your assessment of Foles through four games, kind of the good and the bad?
I think the offense is the same exact thing. I think, obviously, we've set a very high standard here in terms of the success we had last year, but there's a different group of guys playing right now, you know, and I think that's the reality of it. And you know, we have to do a better job. Everybody on the offensive side of the ball has to do a better job in terms of executing, because we're leaving plays out there on the field, and that's the thing that's disappointing when you look at it. You know, when you get to second and fives, and then we get a fumble, or we get to second and two, and then, you know, we got an interception, or we just miss a block, you know, because there was a communication issue up front, or on the last play when we're trying to run naked, not every lineman's going to the left, so all of a sudden we got a pile up where if everybody does go to the left, we got a clean edge, and we're one-on-one with a guy in front of Nick, and now we're trying to play a cat and mouse game on the corner where we are, but we got a pile up inside. So on every situation where things have broken down, it's not the same guy. So if it was the same guy, that's an easy decision. Well, we can swap this guy out for that guy, and maybe we got a better situation. But it's just one or two things here or there that are kind of slowing us down. But there's times where we prove we can be successful. We drove the ball 90 yards and 15 plays and got the ball to the one, but then we don't execute. We get the ball down in there. We get a little bit of pressure. We can't get the ball in. We get a little bit of pressure off of one edge. We can't set our feet and throw it. We got a hold up when we're trying to run the naked. We can't get the ball to the perimeter. So it's just let's put ourselves in situations where we can make better plays. I think we can build upon what we did special teams-wise. I thought they had an outstanding game. You know, when you can block a punt for a touchdown, almost block another punt for a touchdown, return a punt for a touchdown, I think our defense is really kind of starting to round into shape and doing some really good things back there. They scored a touchdown. So we get all three phases to play at the same time. I think we're going to be a good team, but that's something we all have to work on.
How much of a difference has Malcolm Jenkins made for you guys in the secondary?
He's made a huge difference for us. You know, you look at him right now, I think he's got 8 pass breakups, 3 interceptions, 20-plus tackles. He sets the calls back there. There's a calming influence to him. I think his just attitude and approach and what he brings every single day he's here, one of the most positive guys to ever be around. You know, even you watch him coming off the field and everybody listens to him in the fourth quarter, we got this. You know, I think he's always looking at the you know, the positive outcome of things. And you know, you can see if you want to say what a professional football player is supposed to behave like, I think Malcolm is a prime example of that. And we were, you know, I've said it all along, he was our target. We were so excited that we got him. And I think what we thought in terms of our investigation of what we were getting is exactly what we got. And I think he's really stabilized us on the back end. And I think we're playing better in the back end now than we were, especially early last year. So hopefully he can continue to grow, and we haven't seen everything from him. So.